and welcome to the Nibbies podcast. Conversations with authors who've been shortlisted for the British Book Awards, lovingly known as the Nibbies. I'm your host and longtime Nibbies fan, Hannah McInnes. These awards celebrate books and everyone who makes them, honouring the entire creative, collaborative journey of a book, from the author's mind to the reader's hand. And that's what we're going to do on this podcast. Chat to some of today's best-loved authors about their books, their writing, what's gone on behind the scenes to get them to where they are, and those lovely moments when they and the books they've created have found their readers.
My name is Nathan Anthony, and I am the creator behind the food platform Board of Lunch and now an author. I've just published my fourth book, The Healthy Air Fryer Book, 30 Minute Meals. So excited to be joining this podcast and chatting to you guys about Board of Lunch and the books.
Well, we are so excited to have you. Start at the beginning, though, Nathan. There are some out there who have not yet caught on to the air fryer phenomenon that's sweeping the country. You describe it as one of the best kitchen gadgets you can have in your arsenal. Mm-hmm. Tell us more.
I'm just obsessed with it, Hannah. Like, honestly, I've grown up, my mum would have had like a really old one when we were kids, and it looked like a Hoover that turned around. Like, it was awful looking, but it made like healthier food and they were very energy efficient. And when I went to university and I moved into a house with six other people, everybody was kind of fighting over the hob and fighting over the oven and everything else. And mum got me an air fryer. So I just thought, you know, I don't need the oven. I can do my own little thing. And air fryers weren't a massive thing when I was at university, well, 8-9 years ago. But now they're everyone's getting them. They're quicker. They're healthier. They're energy efficient. They're just so versatile. You know, you can dehydrate in it. You can bake in it. You can reheat. They're just the best piece of kit that you can have in your kitchen. You know, I could have, you know, my food cooked at times before your oven's preheated if I'm using my air fryer. So they're just the best thing. I can't rave about them enough, so I'm obsessed.
You said, I mean, speed is obviously something, but healthy you mentioned too, and yours is the Healthy Air Fryer Book. What sorts of recipes then do we find in here? How do you decide what to include?
I think it's just typically what I would cook and food that's inspired by my travels. You know, there's some gorgeous fakeaways like crispy Beijing beef, and it's just how I would cook. And traditionally in an air fryer, you would use a lot less oil. So what I try and do is I take food that's notoriously, you know, deep fat fried, lots of oil, and I then recreate it in my air fryer with a lot less oil and a bit healthier as well. And don't get me wrong, you know, I'm a big believer in health being all about balance. So, you know, there's things in there that are more calorific and where we do use oil, but it's all about balance. You know, you could have a lovely crispy tuna bagel on one page, and then the next you have a lovely, you know, crispy sesame chicken. The recipes are just, there's such a variety that, you know, they're perfect for busy professionals or, you know, busy parents or those who are just young professionals that live by themselves, live alone. So they're quite tailored to I think pretty much everyone and just typically the home cook. There's no niche ingredients that you're going to have to go hunting for. It's just accessible food for everyday people that just want easy recipes that taste good. So I can't believe we're on our fourth book already, which just feels insane given that Board of Lunch only started during lockdown. So it's been a total whirlwind of a ride in terms of food and publishing. So but yeah, you'll love the recipes, I promise.
Maybe it's because I'm hungry, but I would like you to just tell us a few more of what we find in there recipe wise.
Yeah, so there's a bit of a chapter breakdown. So we have a lovely meatball and mozzarella orzo bake. It's lovely. So the meatballs go in, you know, you add in a lovely tomato sauce. It cooks in the air fryer as well. Add in a bit of orzo pasta. There's also, now this is maybe a bit off the kind of the what you would expect, but we also have a KFC fakeaway in it. So it's called crispy fried chicken. So it's my interpretation of an air fryer KFC. But yeah, there's so many meals in it that are just quick, easy, accessible. One of my go-to recipes that's in it is steak tacos with an avocado crema. So just the most gorgeous avocado sauce. I love seafood, so there's a crispy squid in it with a wasabi mayo. I just cook my way through the books. And there's something for everybody as well. Do you know, if you want to feed a crowd, there's a lovely garlic butter lobster dish with a chili pasta recipe as well. So you can kind of work your way through the book and you'll find kind of recipes that suit you, or if you're cooking for lunch or if you're hosting. And yeah, there's one recipe called Hosting in a Hurry. So you can turn something around quite quickly if someone arrives at your house unexpectedly or decides to bring someone else with them. So there's quite a variety in the book.
Listening to you, I don't think people would guess this, but you're not a chef. Are you qualified as a chef or trained as a chef?
No.
So how did this come about?
So I only started cooking at university. And then when I graduated, I continued to use a slow cooker, continued to use an air fryer. And I just cooked recipes, Hannah, that worked around my corporate background. So I worked for British Telecom. I worked in transformation and project management. So very, very different from food. And after a long day's work, or if you've been traveling, I just wanted quick, easy, accessible food that could be ready fairly quickly. And the air fryer for me always delivered on that. And it's just something that I've kind of ingrained into my everyday life. Even, you know, I've left my corporate job now because I do this full time. But the air fryer is just such a fast piece of kit. You don't need to preheat it. You know, you just put it in. You can cook frozen foods in it as well. But I think, you know, trying to eat healthier and using less oil is one of the beauties of having an air fryer. It's such a smart piece of kit. And one of the things that I love doing in it is if I have fruit that's maybe looking slightly sad, rather than just blitzing it into a smoothie, what most people will do is I'll dehydrate the fruit in the air fryer and I'll add it to my overnight oats or my porridge in the morning. Or if you're maybe a cocktail drinker or a gin drinker, you can dehydrate your fruit and add the fruit and dehydrated fruit to that. So the possibilities and what you can do really, really is endless. But no chef and experience, very corporate background, and just using a piece of home kit that probably most of the country are using it now. And yeah, that's kind of just my recipe style and how I cook. And it's kind of stuck.
You say you've now left your job and this you do full time. Mm-hmm. How would you say that writing this book and your books has changed your life?
I think, yeah, it's very different, you know, from like being day one, you know, going into an office and a corporate job. And then, you know, the next thing you're going on to national television and cooking live in front of millions as well. It's completely different. And adjusting to people recognizing you in the street and saying, oh, I've seen you on TV and I've made your books, and just seeing the overwhelming support from everyone that's bought the books, and walking into supermarkets and seeing the huge, that we call them FSDUs, but front of store display units, the very store term for it. But just walking into a supermarket and seeing like your books in thousands and thousands of shops and supermarkets is just, I still kind of struggle to get my head around it. And even today, you know, we've had the new book out and it still seems so surreal. Like we're on our fourth book and it's in all of these shops. And in the last 12 months, a million people have bought a book from Board of Lunch, and that's in the UK. You know, it's just been a real roller coaster, but yeah, very rewarding. And it's so nice to see everyone at home, I suppose, getting a difference and making a difference. You know, some people are saying, you know, they've been able to lose weight or they've been able to save money from the recipes, which is really kind of one of the reasons why I've done the book. So yeah, completely life-changing.
And it's a testament to, isn't it, to the power of social media. Do you feel like you had built up your core audience on Instagram, I think, is where you have obviously a big presence, mm-hmm. before these books came about? And how much did you rely on that community that you'd formed there?
I think, yeah, so there's over 5 million followers across social media now, which is massive. And I did start on Instagram, but then I just started creating other social media platforms like TikTok and Facebook and Pinterest and all the other networks that are out there. And yeah, the page grew and it blew up, and I was offered a number of publishing deals. And when we announced, the only people that would have been able to pre-order is people that follow my page. You know, there's no one that's kind of that would have pre-ordered if they didn't follow the page. and the pre-orders were huge. So the community, you know, is key to how successful the books have been, because they've got it into retailers and they've shown how popular the recipes are and how popular the platform is. And retailers have taken the books in hundreds and hundreds of thousands of copies. So I think the community has been really, really important and key to building the brand and feeding into Board of Lunch as well. When I was writing the books, I would do stories and polls on social media and ask everyone that follows, you know, what recipes would you like to see? You know, what recipes can I create or include that would make your life easier, or what wasn't in the previous book that you would like to see in future books? So the online community is very, you know, it's part and parcel. They're ingrained into every part of the book, which is really, really important.
And obviously it's grown beyond that, and your community has grown far and wide. You've met now readers and that community in real life, and I wonder what that's like, meeting both those who were already there and the new ones you've brought in.
Yeah, I think it's so nice to meet people and in public who can share their stories and can instantly tell you what recipes that they've made. And you know, I think sometimes one of the things that I've kind of had to adjust to recently is I was in a shop recently and someone's like, "Oh, hi, Nathan," and they were smiling. I was like, and I did have to think, I was like, do I know this person? Have I met this person before? Because they're being, you know, the way they were behaving, I was like, maybe I have met them, or have I worked with this person before? But it was just a follower online who loves the books and has kind of came on that journey as well. So it's so nice to meet people and you know, signing their books and thanking them in person as well. I'm a big believer in thank yous going a long way, and being able to tell people face to face, you know, thank you for your support and buying the book is really important to me. So it's been lovely.
So in that process of meeting those readers, who do you think your readers are? All ages, from all walks of life? Do you think you have a specific reader, or do you feel like you've met a very wide variety of people?
It's totally a wide variety of people, Hannah. You know, social media and the systems, because there's an online community, it's quite intelligent and it can tell you who your followers are, where they are, what age they are, and everything else. But I suppose there's no one particular reader that picks up a Board of Lunch book. On one hand, you'll have a very busy parent who has a lot on their plate, kids and jobs and everything else, in a very hectic life. On the other side of it, you'll have a student at university who is focusing on budget and doesn't have much time because they're studying. And then you'll have another person who might be a fitness coach or a personal trainer who loves the healthy aspect of the recipe. So there's no one, I suppose, Board of Lunch style follower or particular reader. It's very broad. And I think that's why the page is so big, because it's not one, you know, part or one demographic. It's pretty much everyone. The appeal is quite broad. And so many students, I'm seeing a lot of students as well picking up the book recently, and they love it, you know. And even what I included in the last book was comments and feedback from my followers, you know, how the books have made a difference to their life or how they cook. And, you know, a lot of men have said, you know, I've always relied on my wife to cook our meals, and I've recently just started cooking using your book. So there really is such a wide kind of range of readers, which is lovely to see.
And those comments, those are included in the Healthy Air Fryer Cookbook?
They are. They're in the inside. We also included it in the last two books. I kind of wanted their names and how the books have made a difference to be in the book. You know, if it wasn't for my online community, I wouldn't be publishing cookbooks. So I have them to thank. So I thought it was very important to include as many of them in the book as possible. Yeah. And yeah, a bit of a snippet of how they've found the recipes and how they've made a difference.
So one of the things you've been doing for a while is sharing the recipes with your community. Mm-hmm. What was it like then going on the collaborative journey with the team and the publishing journey? I just wonder what stands out as memorable moments in that experience.
I think, yeah, I've had a phenomenal journey, and I published by Ebury, and the whole team that I've been surrounded by have been phenomenal and taken me as someone who A, is not a chef, and B, has never wrote a book before and isn't a seasoned author. And I'm putting a lot of time and development into me to try and develop me as an author as well. So I've had a really lovely experience and a lovely journey. And yeah, it's been amazing. And I suppose one memorable moment for me is when we launched our first cookbook. We launched with no stock because pre-orders were surpassing demand over Christmas. The book launched in January, and over the Christmas period, we had 100,000 pre-orders, and there's no retailer will have 100,000 spare books. And wow. I remember when on publication days, I remember having to put up statements and pictures and saying, I'm so happy to be published my book, but I'm really sorry that there's a lot of pre-orders that you're not going to get your book for another while, because we're having to get this printed across Europe because we physically don't have the stock. So that for me, you know, I just remember my first publication day and not having any stock because the pre-orders were just insane. They just blew up. Over the Christmas period, and that's how my first book went. But thankfully, we're in a different position now, where there's hundreds and hundreds of thousands of copies printed every time we publish. So, but my journey has been amazing, an amazing team, and the reaction from the readers and the public has been lovely. So I've had a really incredible journey.
And what's it like seeing the recipes in a hard copy, in a book, on the page, as opposed to where they've been prior to this in the online space? What does it mean seeing it there in your brightly coloured, vibrant books, which people listening won't be able to see? They may know it, but they are.
Yeah.
They really are wonderful to look at.
Yeah. No, thank you. No, I think it's... I open it and I still sometimes can't believe that it's mine. And, you know, there's certain things in it that I kind of wanted included. You know, I wanted to make sure that there was a photo for every recipe. If I was picking up a cookbook, I would probably only cook a recipe that has a photo so I can visualize. I'm a very visual person.
I think it's really important with food, isn't it? It's really important to visualize it.
I think so, yeah. Especially if you're going to cook something, it's really important to see, you know, what this is going to turn out like, or what it will look like when it's when you finish cooking it. And yes, that's really important for me. But the other thing was color. And as part of the recipe research, you know, I'd picked up an awful lot of air fryer books and slow cooker books, because we published slow cooker books as well. And they were just, you know, very grey. You know, there was no colour. It was just marble backgrounds, concrete backgrounds. And the photography was lovely, but I just thought, I want to go completely opposite against that. I want loads of colour, and I want people to feel really excited when they open the book and say, this is really bright and it pops and the food looks beautiful. So that's kind of what I've tried to do with the books. And even every time now that I open them, I still can't believe they're mine. And my mum and dad's like, oh, we're going to have to get an extra shelf at the rate that you're publishing these cookbooks, you know, because you're publishing not many. But I feel very lucky and very privileged to be here, you know, chatting about my journey and my fourth book, which has just been a roller coaster. So the book, yeah, it still feels surreal opening it, Hannah.
I mean, these conversations are so positive, and I speak to some people like you who say it's surreal and it's just such a dream. So now I feel like I want to ask you whether there are any moments that weren't a dream, or difficult moments, challenges with this.
Probably just publishing your first book and not having any stock. That's probably been the biggest challenge.
Problem to have, to be honest.
And my friends were all like, is this like a PR stunt that you don't have any books? And I'm like, no, genuinely, if you go on Amazon, the book is at number one, and it has been for weeks. And they were like, it was going through maybe 7,000 to 10,000 orders a day just on one platform. So it was I feel like I'm letting maybe my readers down because they're ordering these books and they can't get them. But that was probably one of my biggest challenges, just my first book. A nice challenge to have because the book was so sought after, but at times stressful and worrying that people were disappointed by not being able to get the book in the time frame that they wanted. But we've moved on a lot from the first book, and I think you'll struggle to miss the books now in supermarkets and shops, and especially the colour of them. You'll see it on the shelf. So.
And is this now for you a full-time occupation? Everything you do is towards writing book after book?
It's not so much, the books are definitely part of it, but the other part of it is managing that online community. And whilst they don't maybe have the most recent book, or they might not have them all, it's important to create recipes for the big community online that, you know, just are happy to kind of consume some free content and free recipes. managing the website. We have a blog as well that people can sign up to, and there's a text team to make this work. So this is what I do full time now, and there's a lot to do, and there's brands that I work with, and the books are obviously really important to that, but service in the online community and giving them lots of content every single day is my bread and butter, and it's what I started the page up to do, and it's still kind of on my number one to-do list every day, is making sure that there's fresh recipes for people online to recreate at home. So but it's a full-time job, I can assure you that.
Oh, I have no doubt it is. And I like to ask people lastly on this podcast what it means to be shortlisted for this book, for Board of Lunch, the Healthy Air Fryer book, for a Nibby.
Yeah, it's just like surreal. And even when my publisher told me it, I kind of was in disbelief. I'm like, really? Like there's someone actually wants to nominate me for an award. So it just means the world to kind of have, you know, a bit of recognition in the industry and people out there that are enjoying the book, both visually and the content that's inside. So it genuinely means the world. And yeah, for a home cook and someone that's not an author, it's so nice to have a bit of recognition. So a massive thanks, and thank you for having me on the podcast. It genuinely means the world.
I just wish that I was with you in your kitchen tasting the food is all I can say. Yeah. Do you use it for every meal, your air fryer, or do you venture back to the oven at any stages?
I use it every day, so I don't use my oven. And I got a new kitchen in recently just to give me a bit more storage and more counter space. And the guy, he's like, do you use your oven? Because it's immaculate. And it's been, and I had to say, no, I actually don't really use the oven. So I use the air fryer for dinner every single night. And if I'm not using the air fryer, I'll use the slow cooker. It's kind of something like yourself, you know, very busy. You're working all day. You can put the slow cooker on in the morning and it cooks on low all day and dinner is sorted. So I don't use my oven, honestly. And there's nothing in the slow cooker now, but I'll maybe make an air fryer recipe tonight.
I haven't asked you something because at the beginning I got distracted by all the delicious sounding recipes, and I think it's quite self-explanatory, but I'd like to hear your take on why Board of Lunch. Mm-hmm. Why you chose that.
The reason why it was set up was during lockdown I was working from home, and I couldn't go to the park, and if I could, I had to stay away from everybody. I couldn't meet friends, I couldn't meet family. And I just thought, you know what, I'm cooking food and I'm kind of bored of lunch, got stuck in a rut. So I just called it Board of Lunch. And there was a tipping point for me in the pandemic where I set it up during lockdown. And I remember being in the supermarket, and it was at that stage, Hannah, where everybody was buying toilet roll and pasta and tinned food. And you went in and there was completely nothing on the shelves. And you went down to the fresh fruit and veg aisle and it was completely full. And I remember going into the tin section and there was a really elderly gentleman there, and he was just so distressed because you could see that he was like, my stuff that I normally use here is not here. And you could just see him looking. And I just thought, you know what, why is my generation or people that can cook not cooking? You know, what is their meals? What is their lunches? You know, maybe people are bored of lunch and I can help them. So that is kind of how it evolved and how the platform was set up. It was Board of Lunch. It was trying to help people cook healthier during a pandemic, and here we are 4 years later, and it's very different. Yeah,
very different. What a kind of roller coaster. Actually, a roller coaster is completely the wrong expression, because there's been no coming down, just going up. Thank you very much for joining us. Thank you.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, make sure to subscribe to the series to hear more conversations with Nibby's authors. And we'd love it if you'd rate it and leave us a review. Do visit thebookseller.com/British-book-awards to find out more about the industry's biggest celebration of books and all who make them. This podcast was produced by Heavy Entertainment.